I don't actually like it. I find it a little bit formal. So I'm used to young people, you know, and they're kind of like on their phones and talking and they're rude, but it's kind of relaxes the atmosphere a little bit. So feel free to, you know, be rude. No, I'm kidding. And, you know, for those of you who know me, there's a few people here that do. I don't like feel-good messages. I like challenging messages. I like to be inspired, but I like to think, oh, that really hurts. I need to change that area of my life. But I'm going to break my own rule. I'm going to do a feel-good message. I didn't mean to. I didn't really want to. I just sat down and I said, okay, let's sit down, Holy Spirit, let's talk, let's read the word. And do you know the title he gave me? It's most unimpressed. It felt very unspiritual. Sometimes we need to have a good laugh. I'm like, great. So I haven't spoken in a while. Pastor Chuck's asked me to speak. He's not here. And that's the length of my theology this morning. Have a good laugh. And I was thinking, oh, this could go very badly. The second rule I broke was that normally I would sit down and I would read a passage of scripture, a whole passage. I'm one of these contextual type people. I like to read something and know why someone said something, what's the context behind it, who are they speaking to, and then pull all the pieces out of it and then, bam, you've got a great message. I don't like the messages where you start with an idea and then you find the scriptures to match the idea, because you tend to sort of take those scriptures out of context. I'm going to break that rule too, because I said to the Lord, what am I supposed to do with laughter? I'm literally going to have to Google laugh in the Bible. He said, no, you're not. And he gave me a list of scriptures. So if they're taken out of context, I do apologize. It's not my intention. I just, you know, I have to do what the Holy Spirit says to do. And I'm sorry if that offends people. So that's the title of the message. Sometimes we need to have a good laugh. And I'm actually not talking about joy. You know, a lot of the times we say, okay, you know, there's a difference between joy and happiness and laughter. And most people choose to preach on joy because it's kind of a spiritual principle that underguides us no matter what we're going through. But I'm literally talking about being happy. So I'm actually talking about, I guess you could say, that superficial kind of, I actually feel happy. And why, for some reason, Christians tend to shy away from that, like that's somehow very unspiritual and very unscriptural. And I was looking through some of these scriptures and I thought, it actually is quite scriptural to actually be a happy person. So show of hands, who thinks in general, people take themselves too seriously? If everyone does not put up their hands, I'm very upset, because it's true. And I think more so, I think Christians tend to take themselves just a little bit too seriously. There are times to be serious and there are serious moments in life. But I think sometimes we tend to focus on everything that is just sad and serious. And sometimes God just wants us to lighten up. And that's okay. That's okay to say, you know what, today I'm just going to lighten up a little bit. So this video I'm going to show you has absolutely no theological basis. It has absolutely no underlying meaning. I'm not going to preach from it. I'm not going to get 5 points from it. It's just funny. It's just really funny. Unfortunately, I love sarcastic humor. My apologies if I know for some people, and I understand and I respect that sarcasm offends some people. So I do apologize. I actually find it wittingly hilarious. I think sarcasm, if it's done right and it's not rude and it's not wicked, because it can be quite wicked, I think if it's clever and it's good-natured, I think it's what we all would like to say and don't, number one. And number two, it does help us to take ourselves less seriously. Now, I'm actually going to show this clip. I think he's quite a sarcastic little fellow. This is in no way meant to offend anyone. I haven't gone through and thought, oh, yeah, this person does this in our church or we do this or whatever. So I haven't thought of anyone in particular. Please don't be offended. please, I'm begging you, or you'll spend the entire rest of the message just being offended. All right. Am I in the way? Really? Oh, no, you have to hear the beginning because it's, like, super funny. Michael? Just pause it for us. Go back to the beginning. You didn't... And you know what else is funny? No one gave me a timer. So I can go as long as I want. Has anyone heard this guy?
Because I've lived...
Super funny.
Here are my top 15 Christian cliches. Because I've lived in the buckle of the Bible Belt my entire life, and let me tell you, I've seen some doozies. Now, please know that this video is supposed to be good-natured, and nothing about it is supposed to be controversial or anything like that.
Actually, Jordan, I've read this, and I'm pretty offended by it.
Derek Webb... Like, you're one to talk. Praying over unhealthy food. I don't think we consider for 2 seconds how ridiculous it is to pray. Lord, bless this food to our bodies. Before we stuff our faces with potato chips and high fructose corn syrup. God, thank you for this day, and bless this bullet to my foot. Ah! Taking photos of the sky. And then making the caption say, God's just showing off. God doesn't need a filter. No, but you do. Owning multiple Bibles, don't read any of them. Oh, but it's okay. I've got this Bible app on my phone. That's totally what I'm doing while I'm playing with it in church. Hoping your favorite celebrity is a Christian. We've all done this before where we type in our favorite celebrity and then have Christian at the end just to see if they have ever professed Jesus Christ as their savior. Is Taylor Swift a Christian? Is Will Smith a Christian? Is Nicki Minaj in the Illuminati? Idolizing celebrities who do profess to be Christians. Did you know that being a Christian plus celebrity equals the perfect human being? I know, I had no idea either until my friends who like sports told me. The side hug. I get the side hug. I really do, but can there be anything more awkward than the side hug?
Youth pastors are all nervous
Just prayers. How about when people completely overuse the word just while praying? Father God, just help us to just do what we know we're supposed to do just in you and just give us a hedge of protection and just in your name, amen. Oh, and on the subject of prayer, repeating Lord Jesus and Father God while praying. Wait, remind me who we're praying to? It's just that it's been like 3 words since you last said his name. Father God, we come to you today, and Lord Jesus, help us to do what we, Father God, know we're supposed to do. Lord Jesus, help us to believe in you more, and Jesus, help us, God, to just do what we know we're supposed to do, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen, Father God. Sowing a seed. A lot of big churches talk about sowing a seed in their ministry because you'll be blessed if you do. You know what God doesn't bless? Manipulation. The hand squeeze. We all know that one person who wants to break your hand off in the brief moments after the word amen is said. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible verses on selfies. Girls take selfies and then post them online with Bible verses as the captions.
Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting.
Luke 12:27.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
What? Accountability partners.
Hey, accountability partners aren't cliche.
No, but this is. Hey, Josh, how's your Bible reading going?
We should probably just worry about this later.
Yeah, we'll probably stop before this gets a little too uncomfortable.
Probably a good idea.
Overzealous worship leaders. Don't you just feel bad for the worship leader who calls people to the front and nobody moves?
Okay, I would like everybody to come up to the front. The spirit is only in the first few rows. If you don't come up to the front, I'm gonna lose my job. Okay, that's it. We're gonna sing of his love forever. We're gonna do it forever. Is everybody happy now? Come to the front!
Basing your entire theology on one verse. Coincidentally, it's your favorite verse too. Funny how that works. Unspoken prayer requests. Or as I like to call it, fishing for attention.
Well, does anybody have any prayer requests?
Yes, I have an unspoken prayer request, please. Okay, well, does anyone have any other prayer requests?
Because my friend called me last night and she was telling me all this crazy awful stuff going on with her and whoever else. And I want to tell you, but it's not my secret to tell.
All right, well, we'll definitely be praying for her.
Don't you want to know what it is?
Not if you don't want to tell us.
Forget you guys!
The end.
Just leave this on.
No, Phil, excuse me. I'm off to go post a billion pictures of myself from a missions trip that I was on last week. And before you ask, no, I do not know the names of any of the children on my profile picture. But just look at how cute they are! And how happy I look! Man, I just have such a heart for... that country I was in. You can't drive to Africa, right? Okay, yeah. Okay, I'll have such a heart for Mexico.
Just leave it. There's funny worship leader at the end. He's a bit funny.
And no more pizza. And no more Nutter Butters. And no more lock-ins. Is that what you want? Come to the front!
Oh, I'm sorry. I think that's really funny.
It's fun just to have a bit of a laugh. He does a lot of stuff on the funny side of social media. If you're into social media, you really like him. Michael and I have good laughs together. We kind of laugh at the same things. I like Michael's sense of humour because it's so silly. I actually am going to look at a verse, believe it or not. Ecclesiastes 3:4. A lot of people know this verse. This is the passage of scripture that talks about seasons and times for things, and the right times for things, and the wrong times for things, and the fact that there can be complete opposites in our lives. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh. It says laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And I actually checked the laugh, and it is actually the Hebrew. It does mean actual laughter. It's not talking about the inner joy. It's actually talking about to smile, to laugh. And we often, we look at the weeping, we look at the mourning, and it is good to see the other flip side to that coin, which is laughter. There are times we should not laugh, okay? I'm just going to put that right out there. We don't laugh at funerals. We don't have a friend call us and say they've been diagnosed with breast cancer and go, oh, let's go have a laugh. That's inappropriate, unfair. And not the kind of thing I'm talking about here. But today we are talking about laughing. There are 214 uses of the word joy that is inclusive of laughter as well. Most of them are in Psalms. But there are also a lot of verses that talk about our heart being glad or merry and about rejoicing. Now, I will get onto scriptures a bit later, but I'm a scientist. I love science. So I want to give you a few little fun sciencey physiological facts. Okay? This is a quote from Paul E. McGee, he's a PhD. Your sense of humor is one of the most powerful tools you have to make certain that your daily mood and emotional state support good health. I'll say it again. Your sense of humor is one of the most powerful tools you have to make certain that your daily mood and emotional state support good health. And I thought about it, and I thought laughter and a sense of humor really is unique to humans, because my dog doesn't laugh. Like, he can be happy. I don't have a dog. My cat can't be happy because they're evil. But dogs, let's say we had a dog. They are. Everyone knows cats are evil. I love my cat, but he belongs in hell. Unpleasant animal most of the time. But let's pretend I have a dog. I can tell my dog is happy because his tail is wagging, but he doesn't really have a sense of humour, so to speak. And I thought, well, really then, it is back to being about being made in the image of God. Because if we all have the ability or the potential to have a sense of humour, some have more of a sense of humour than others, and that's okay. Sometimes it's about your personality, but everyone has a sense of humour at some level. And it really is godly to have a sense of humour. I feel like often at my expense, God has a sense of humour. He thinks things are funny. For example, when he first told me to preach this message, I thought this is going to be so easy because I actually think I have a sense of humour. I can take things fairly lightly and that's okay. So I thought this would be just simple. I'll be able to get in there, talk about my life story, like, yeah, everything's great. And you know, I had the worst week. I had the worst week. And yesterday, day before I have to preach, had a sad day. Sad day. Actually, it was even sad right up until last night. Just, you know, you get one of those days where everything just goes wrong and then you have other things that are going on in your life that I don't really want to share, but that's okay. And I was just sad. I thought, how am I going to preach a message on laughing? So I went downstairs and watched some funny videos and I was okay. But it's just funny, you know, I think God has a sense of humor in that way. Okay. This is true. Seriously or terminally ill patients who have a good sense of humor are more likely to respond better to treatments and recover or go into remission quicker and for longer periods of time. This is absolutely 100% proven. Not with all people, but the majority of the cases. And I know my mum, Pastor Marianne, she'll vouch for that. When she goes into the cancer care ward and into the treatment ward, those who have a more positive, relaxed, I don't know how you could in that situation, but they do, those who are able to see the brighter side of life and have a laugh, sometimes at their own expense, tend to pull through their treatments quicker and better. So here's some facts. Laughter actually relaxes your whole body, relieves physical tension, stress, leaves your muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes. Laughter boosts your immune system. I did not know this. It decreases your stress hormones and increases your immune cells. Okay, so if you've got the flu, maybe don't close all the blinds, put a depressing movie on that you're going to cry about. It's actually going to make you feel worse. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins. Now, we all know when we run, Cherry will know this, when you're running or you're exercising, you release a chemical, or chemicals, plural, endorphins. They're actually happy, feel-good chemicals. They literally make you feel better about your life. And I know this is the case sometimes when you're feeling pretty bad and I'll think, oh, I really should go for a walk. Katie was saying this, you know, last couple of weeks, I need to go and do some exercise, and you don't want to, but as soon as you do, even when you're doing it, it doesn't feel great. When you're finished, you actually have this little euphoria kind of high and you think, oh, I feel so good about my life. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed, but you physiologically feel happy about your life. Laughter actually does that for you. And it's hard because sometimes you think, well, I'm not happy, so how can I laugh? Sometimes you just need to find something to laugh about and then you feel happy. All right? Okay. Laughter actually protects your heart, improves the function of your blood vessels and increases blood flow. That's new. I didn't know that either. This one I did know. There is a very strong link between laughter and mental health. Laughter actually dissolves distressing emotions, helps you to relax and recharge, and helps you to shift perspective. And I was reading up a little bit about this, excuse me, and the general consensus was, hope I can articulate this right, people who laugh tend to have better mental health. It's not those who have better mental health that laugh more. Does that make sense? So it's not like, well, I don't laugh because I don't have good mental health. It's actually those who laugh more on a daily basis have better mental health. Do you understand the difference? So there is actually a link between laughing more and being happy, and it's particularly group laughing, when you laugh in groups, which we'll get onto. It's actually good for your mental health. It actually increases all of the hormones that trigger happiness instead of depression. That was very interesting. And sometimes I laugh at just absolutely how ridiculous I am in life. And that's okay. And I think that that's something that we should all practice on a daily basis to stop ourselves from taking things a little bit too seriously. As Christians, we pray together, we worship together, we study together, we read together. We don't think we laugh enough together. We don't, really. Someone laughs, we're like, oh, they're laughing. And look, I'm not a huge advocate of the laughing movement. I don't really get into that, and that's okay, whatever. But, man, I can see a need for some people to just laugh a little bit more in life. And I think sometimes as Christians particularly, we can tend to think that's not spiritual, but I think it is. It is scientifically proven that laughter with others is better than laughing by yourself. I know this to be true because I end up laughing at people laughing. Michael, so Michael came over to my house last week on a Sunday night, and my cat's so stupid. And my cat was doing some really silly things. And Michael was on the floor in a fetal position, laughing so hard that I was actually no longer laughing at my cat. I was laughing at Michael. And I think that sometimes what we do is we just laugh. I recently did the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. That was unpleasant. At night, at the front of my shop, with the rest of my staff. It was not funny. And I actually went home after that. Shona and I went home and we Googled worst fails or something like that for Ice Bucket Challenge. Her and I would have laughed solidly for about 45 minutes straight. If you go and Google it. It's really, really funny. But us laughing together, it's kind of a bit of a bonding moment. So laughing in groups is good. Two more. Helps us to be spontaneous, to get out of our own head and to get away from our own troubles. And it helps us to let go of our defensiveness. Okay, we tend to forget things we're holding on to. We tend to forget the fact that we're supposed to be judging someone for something. That's right. I meant to be mad at them because they did this last week. Oh, that's right. I meant to be holding that against them because they sinned last week, and I need to make sure that I'm telling them that this is wrong instead of laughing at something they're saying right now. Laughter actually helps us to get rid of all of those judgments and those criticisms. All right, now let's have a look at the Bible because that's what we need to do. As I've said in Ecclesiastes 3:4, the first thing I want to talk about is the Bible clearly recognises the need for merriment and laughter. There is a time, like Ecclesiastes, there is actually a time to be happy. There is a time. I challenge the concept that it's only through sadness that we get closer to God. I challenge that. I'm just going to speak from experience. I know sometimes when we're happy, we can forget about God. I get that. We tend to draw closer to God when we need him. So putting that aside, I know it's a lot easier for me in my human flawed state to be happy and to thank God for things that he's done than to try and work out why something's not happening and why I'm so upset and why isn't he fixing something. It can, if we're not careful when we're sad, tend to lead to resentment toward God, towards people. So I do challenge the concept that you can only know God better through sadness. I challenge that because I have known God better through some amazing highs in my life that I can attribute to him and him only. And I think it's a sad day when we can only attribute sadness or attribute sad times in our life to getting to know better God. Okay, I think as a church, we need to be showing people that being a Christian is actually worth it. Sometimes the cost is very high. No one's doubting that. And sometimes the pain is very real. A lot of the times, the pain is very real. But I think as a whole, if we define ourselves by misery and that being the way to get closer to God, who is going to want that? No one. They want to actually get out of their misery. They're wanting to get out of their darkness, and we're just trying to draw them back into it. Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I don't want to be a dried up old person. I want to have a good heart, a joyful heart. And it says there, like medicine. So that's backing up my physiology, just there. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Now, you might not have anything in common with someone, but you can laugh with them. And I think we come to church, and for the majority of people, you probably wouldn't ever see the people that you're with in church, outside of church. And you wouldn't be like, oh, yes, I want to be this person's friend, because we're all so very different and we come from very different parts of the community or very different parts of life, very different cultures. It's funny how God brings very different people together. And sometimes the only thing we have in common is having a bit of a laugh. We can laugh at something together. The second thing about the Bible and laughter is our joy and happiness and our laughter should ultimately stem from our relationship with God. And I think this is the difference between basing our happiness on worldly things or on circumstances. Sometimes it's okay to do that. If you've got something good going on in your life, be happy about it. But ultimately, true happiness does come from our relationship with God. If non-Christians are happier than you, then something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong. And I have to, every day I go to work and I walk into my cafe and I tell myself, I actually have something that my staff members don't have. And I want to make sure at all possible moments that they see something worth having. And sometimes what they need is for me to be happy about my life. And sometimes I'm not happy about my life, but I can get to work and I can still be happy in that moment. And my staff members all tell me, we just love working here. Everyone is so happy. They're so happy all the time. All the jobs that we've been to, they're so sad, or they're depressed, or they're yelling at me, or they're yelling at each other. Or they're just angry. Anger is a big one. They're just angry all the time. We come to work and we actually come to work and we're actually excited about coming to work because the people that we have at work are actually happy people and I like coming to a happy environment. That to me says more at this point in time than if I was to shout five scriptures at them at this point in time. God may ask me to do that and that's what I'll do. But for this moment, the way I'm demonstrating God to them is by creating an atmosphere which they can come into and be happy. Do you agree? All right. Psalm 126, verse 2. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And that's kind of reiterating what I just said. We are happy because of what God has done in our lives. And people look and go, that's why they're happy. I don't necessarily, well, I don't have more material objects than some other people. I mean, one of the girls that works for me, she's got more money than me. She's 18. She's got more money than me. She has an inheritance. She just comes from a wealthy family. She just bought a really expensive new car. She's not bratty or anything about it. It's just how it is. But I know that my happiness comes from a different place. And so I don't want people looking at me going, they're happy because they have this, or they're happy because they've done this, or they're doing this. I want people to look at me and go, she's happy because of God. End of story. That's why, no matter what. Next scripture is in Job. You wouldn't think I'd find a happy scripture in Job, would you? Job 8:21. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. Job was always hoping. He despaired a lot and he had good reason to despair. But he was very aware that at some point God was going to fill his mouth. I don't actually know if he said that or the people talking to him at that point. But ultimately, it was God who brought joy back into Job's life. Nothing changed for Job other than what God did for him. So Job didn't work harder or change the way he thought. He was still kind of thinking it was all God's fault right up until the point where God changed everything. So he wasn't the reason that he started getting happy. God was the reason he started getting happy. for whatever reason at that time, whatever changed for him or whatever didn't change, it actually was God that put laughter back into his life. Psalm 4:7. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. So we should have more joy in our hearts than when all of the other things are going well. Amen. I love that one. That's one of my favorites. And David would know. David would know. He had a lot of going against him, particularly at that time when that was written. All right, the last thing I want to talk about with the Bible is God literally commands us to be either joyful, cheerful, or laugh. So it is a command quite a few times. I'm just going to give you two. Two really, really well-known ones. Psalm 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So it doesn't just say joy, it does say be glad and rejoice. It'd be very difficult for me to be glad if I'm crying or upset. So I think here he's specifically talking about actually being happy, being glad in the Lord, in something that he has done for us or just who he is. That's good enough for me, by the way, just saying. If nothing's happening in my life, I'm perfectly content to just be happy with who God is. And that's actually what got Job out of trouble. He was like, I don't care what is going on in my life. I don't care. He actually thought it was God who was doing all those things to him. And he just said, you know what? Don't care. Gonna love God anyway. He may have had a slightly skewed theology, but in the end, he got it right. He loved God no matter what. He loved God for who God is. And that brought him joy. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Who wrote this? Who wrote this, Norm? Paul. What was most likely Paul doing at this point in time? In jail. I'm not 100% convinced, that he was actually laughing, but maybe he was. I'm thinking if he had the courage to sing, he probably had the courage to laugh in the Holy Spirit, to make merry in his heart whilst rats are biting him and he's not fed and he's hurting. This is what he's doing. He's talking about rejoicing. I'd be thinking, if I'm like this, I'd want to preach to a church about how you should suffer for Jesus. That's what I would want to preach. If I was suffering for Jesus, then everyone would have to. If I was there sucking up the pain, the first thing I'd be preaching is, come on, guys. The way to get closer to God is to suffer. That's actually not what he said at all. He said, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He does talk about suffering as well. But it's just funny that he says, again, I will say rejoice. So let's get practical. What can I do to laugh more? I think that's a great message, but I don't really laugh very much. Like, what if you're just a person that doesn't laugh very much? What can I do? Firstly, get to know Jesus better because he's a pretty funny guy. He has quite a sense of humour. You read the gospel. Sometimes I just start, Katie and I would talk about this all the time. He'll just be talking to someone. I think, what? That is definite proof that he has a sense of humour saying that. When you really get in and read what he's saying, you think, man, you are a funny guy. Kids liked him, so he couldn't have been too boring. So get to know him better. Get to know your word better. I mean, I just gave you 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 scriptures. Get in there. Get into it. You know, we don't need to own 5 Bibles and not read any of them. I'm cool with the phone thing. Just use it. I'm okay with having the Bible on your phone, but just use it. Don't like have like 5 different translations on your Bible and Hebrew and Greek and all this kind of stuff, but then never use it. You mostly only need 1 or 2 things a day to keep you going. Of course, it's great to have more, but you really only need, join one of those verse a day things. I do it on YouVersion. I don't always look at it. But it's good. I know if I don't have the time at that particular moment in my life during the day to sit down and read two chapters, I'll just go, what's YouVersion got for me today? Here's the verse. I can sit and think about that verse all day, make myself happy. Second thing, create opportunities to laugh. If you're not laughing, it's probably because you don't have many opportunities to laugh. And that's a real part of life sometimes. Maybe you don't have a life where there's a lot of places to laugh. Just watch something funny. You know, obviously, be careful what you watch. Don't, you know, start watching trash just so you can laugh a little bit. I have a couple of favourite TV shows. I like The Big Bang, all right? So sue me. Okay, it's one of my favourite shows, all right? I know it's not always morally, you know, there, but it is really funny. Now, sometimes we've actually watched every season probably about 8 times over. Because we just like to laugh. It's funny. So find something that's funny and just watch it. Like I said, I went and Googled ALS Ice Bucket Challenge and laughed myself silly. Create opportunities. Read a good book. Seek out funny people. I know if I want to have a good laugh, I'll just laugh at Michael. Or actually, sometimes I'll just go talk to Louise because she's actually bitingly funny. She's got the same sense of humour as I do, so we like a little bit of sarcasm, and I just go and talk to her and I'll end up laughing. Find people that are funny. If you're not too keen on the group of people that you're around because maybe just mix it up a little bit. Find someone that makes you laugh and just spend 5 minutes in their company. And you know who likes a good laugh? Pastor Sue. She's a funny person. Funny, funny, funny person. And she actually looks for opportunities to laugh. We will often have, sometimes we'll have family time together and Sue will be a part of that. And she will start bringing up old, old stories of when Austin and I were like this big and embarrass the living daylights out of us just so we can all laugh about it. We can't think of any for her because we didn't know her when she was, it's a little bit unfair. But Sue also likes to laugh about her dog. I know if I want to get a good laugh, I'll just go and talk to Sue about her dog and I'll tell her about my cat and we will have a good laugh together. So seek people out that are a bit funny. Have a games night with some friends. I'm just going to dance. Thanks. Games nights are fun / scary / dangerous depending on who you play them with. We have certain games that we play like Traino Slaps. We literally slap people's faces in that game, so maybe don't try that one at home. But games have this ability to make you a little bit more crazy than what you would normally be otherwise. They kind of loosen the inhibitions a little bit and all is good. Sometimes I think maybe a little bit of a game before a Bible study might lighten the mood a little bit. Never know. Like I've said, play with a pet. Super funny. Play with your children. I have to take this to heart. Sometimes I'm so busy and so serious. My kids are doing something really funny and I'm missing it. I'm just missing enjoying their silliness. I'm missing enjoying, you know, Ben and I were working late last night and we didn't have a good day. I said that already. And we were kind of, you know, arguing a little bit. And the kids, it was a little bit. There was no yelling. There was no yelling. We just saw things a little bit differently on this matter. And quite a bit differently. And we're all in the front seat of the car on the way home. We're like huffing internally. And the kids are in the back wetting themselves, laughing at, I don't even know what they were even saying. TNT kept coming up. I don't know what that means. They were having a guessing game and they kept saying the most ridiculous things. And Hannah and Zoe, like, they fight a lot. So, like, the fact that they're, like, laughing, we should have been taking note of that. And we're missing it. We're sitting in the front about life, about each other, about not... The key to this funny story is we were complaining about not spending quality time with the family. While the kids are in the back being ignored by us. We had an opportunity to have a bit of a laugh within our own family and we missed it. We missed it. So thank you, God, for making me live out my own sermon again. Make time for fun activities. Funny things can't happen if you don't go anywhere or do anything. Sometimes just going and see. I love watching people hurt themselves. I'm sorry. We went, where did we go? Somewhere with myself and my two kids and Austin and Amy. And we went for a walk along, you know, where the rocks go out to the smaller lighthouse in Wollongong. And sometimes the waves, okay, they were really big, coming up really, really far. This cute Asian couple were getting married. She had a gorgeous dress on. And I said to Austin, let's go and watch this because I really think that they're going to get completely obliterated. And I wanted to see it. I'm really sorry, but I just, as long as they don't get hurt badly. Anyway, so we walked out and we must have waited there for a long time. Like, that's a sick sense of humour to wait there for that long to want. Anyway, it happened. They were standing there. She had this gorgeous little umbrella and he's standing there with his suit and this wave just comes up and literally knocks her right off her feet. She's drenched. I mean, it was silly for them to be there, so they kind of deserved it. We were right up. No one was walking anywhere near that area. We were all over here. Everyone was walking over here and these two people just walk out and I'm like, oh, man, funniest home videos. But I wouldn't have been able to laugh at that if I hadn't gone out of my house. Sometimes we just get a bit, oh, stay at home, tired. Just go out, go for a walk, take your dog for a walk, do something. Not your cat. And the last one is, I hope I'm not offending anyone, I'm sorry. This is why I don't preach. Take yourself less seriously. We have said a little bit more. Laugh at when things are a bit of embarrassing. You can't avoid it. Embarrassing moments come. They just come. I watched a YouTube clip once of Darlene Sheck was at Lakewood Centre and she walked, this is her, she's preaching. She walked up, I've got like, you know, those ridiculously big stages where you got like walk up like stairs, stairway to heaven type thing. And she walks up it and she's got these big stilettos. And she face plants right in front of, like, this is the biggest church in America. She absolutely face plants. I actually wasn't laughing when I saw that because I'm like, that is bad. That is bad. And I'm like, what is she going to do? She gets up, she grabs the mic, and she goes, I'm just going to wait 30 seconds for people just to upload that on YouTube and watch it, and then I'll continue. That was it. She knew, okay, this is what's going to happen. She had a bit of a giggle and she moved on with her life. I mean, I would crawl into a hole and die. If that happened to me, I would never preach anywhere ever again. It happens to them all the time. They'll tell you of their funny stories. They once did a key change without doing the key change. Half the band did the key change. This is again at the Lakewood Centre. Half the band did it and the other band and the other, and they just had to stop and they all just laughed. What else can you do? In the middle of one of the biggest churches in America, you have to just laugh. Look for the humour in a bad situation because sometimes you can actually find it. I want to sing the song You Have Won Me because that's like a fun song. I hope that that's not been too watered down for you. I just, you know, it's great that it's a good day today because you actually feel good about this message. You'll walk out and you'll be like, yay, the sun is shining, I can be happy. I was like, please God, don't let it be a depressingly raining day. Everyone's going to walk out and be like, I can't live out this sermon. Come to the walk next week, okay? Walking makes you feel happy. Being happy makes you laugh. Makes you feel good. Yes, laugh with each other. Or at each other on the way. I'll be listening next week for your testimonies on how you laughed, because I want to hear them. Let's stand.